The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So hello again, and with this being Monday, I begin another five-part series of talks for these morning sits. And what I'd like to do this week is to introduce to you one of my favorite topics these days, Buddhist topics, practice topics. And it's a concept which I've been reading the Buddha's teachings for a long time, but didn't really see there, didn't really pull it out of the text and understand that it was there, partly because it was translated in a way that kind of made it more obscure. On the surface, it would seem that this is a pretty straightforward concept, maybe, but it's translated by the word compassion. It turns out there are two words that the more well-known translators will translate as compassion. One is the one that is most commonly known, karuna, K-A-R-U-N-A, karunya. And the second is anukampa, A-N-U-K-A-M-P-A. And but by both translating them both as compassion, we don't see how these two are distinguished from each other. And when I started looking into this and seeing what's specifically said about anukampa in the suttas, it became quite meaningful for me and touched something very deep inside that I kind of came to recognize as kind of its own specialness. And in the past, I think I would have identified it as compassion or a quality of compassion, and that's quite fine and a nice thing. But now it seems to be something much more fundamental and broader in scope than compassion in a wonderful way. So, and I call it, I tend to translate this word anukampa as care. And caring for the world, caring for self, caring for others. And I kind of like the English word care because of the double meanings of it. To care for others means both to value them, to consider them, to value them, appreciate them, but to... it could also mean to actively do something for them, to help them, to provide for them, to support them. And these two meanings, to value someone and to provide support, are beautiful things to do. So for what I would like to do today, this first day, is to say something more about my own journey in the Dharma, in relationship to three beautiful qualities of heart that can grow through this practice, and that is compassion, loving kindness, and this anukampa, this care. And the way that it came to me and kind of became strong in me was in that sequence. And it's kind of interesting that I've been doing this Dharma practice for 45 years. So to go back and look over how it's evolved for all these decades, you see the slow change or what was salient, what was important for me at different eras of my practice. So in the early years of my practice, when I had a lot of personal suffering, a lot of challenges, I was doing Zen practice, as I started to develop and deepen the practice, the language, the way I described it to myself, it was that practice was Zen meditation was tenderizing in the way that we tenderize meat. I've never done it, but I think that meat can be tough, and you put something on it that makes it more tender and something. So I kind of felt that Zazen, Zen meditation, was tenderizing my heart. And slowly, I realized in retrospect, after some years of practice, that one of the things that was happening for me in those early years was I was becoming compassionate. I was being attuned to my own suffering and then also the suffering around me. And the salient, important quality that met that, that responded to it, that supported it, was a quality of compassion, a warmth, a care, a love, certainly a caringness that was specific to suffering. And at first, I certainly wasn't conscious of this actively happening. I think one of the first signs that this was happening was that I found myself oriented towards Buddhist art of statues, photographs of art, drawings, paintings of Avalokiteshvara, Kuan Yin, Kannon in Japanese, the Bodhisattva, the great being of compassion. And I felt myself very strongly drawn to those, and I would draw them, I would have photographs of statues on my wall. And I didn't think about it much. It was like I found these, I put them up there. I also would see in the world people and objects, and I would identify them as being objects or people of compassion. I remember there were some people that I said, oh, that's a really compassionate person, I said to someone else. And they were surprised that I would see that in the person, because that wasn't their association. But I was seeing this around me. Even there were sometimes just a breeze of the wind against my cheek felt like a breeze of compassion. I think in Zen sometimes it's called the golden wind that comes. And in retrospect, I think I needed a lot of compassion. I needed a lot of this, the medicine or the salve of compassion in order to meet and be with my own suffering. Or perhaps rather than needing it, it just was the byproduct. And one of the reasons I think why this compassion arose for me in doing Zen practice is that Zen practice was very simple, and the way I understood it, the way I practiced it, was a thorough acceptance of the moment as it was. And since I had a lot of suffering, it became a certain kind of acceptance, certain kind of just being with, allowing it, and this allowing and the suffering to be there and being with it is a tenderizing effect. Just I kept all the resistance I had to it, the judgments I had about it, the discursive thought that it would trigger. All these I would let go of them, come back and just feel and be here with what was. And what was here was suffering. And that was tenderizing. And one of the good fortunes for me in those early years is I didn't know very much about meditation. So I didn't have any meditation techniques to try to work with it and fix it. I just sat in an open, somewhat simple way with experience, and doing so changed me. It changed me so much that this compassion grew, and it became the orienting, organizing principle for my life. I decided at some point that I would dedicate my life to Buddhism, Buddhist practice, maybe teaching Buddhism, as my response to the suffering of the world. And I never had any sense that I was going to be so effective in doing so, but I had a clear sense that that's what I wanted my life to be about. Given what we're doing here, sitting in the morning now, the image I had of myself, you know, when I started this route of wanting to respond to the world out of compassion, was I would have a little storefront Zen center, a little meditation hall, and I would get up in the morning and had the key, I'd open it up and I would keep it clean and I'd let people come in and we would meditate together in the morning. And that would be the core kind of way in which I supported people. That was the idea. And so now, many years later, we have this 7 a.m. sitting, which is kind of a fulfillment for me of a certain kind of goal I had many, many years ago. And So that was very nice, and it was very nurturing, it was supportive, and this idea of compassion, and I discovered some of the ins and outs of compassion. I discovered that, to my surprise, that compassion can feel really nurturing, really sweet, a wonderful, pleasant feeling can come with pure compassion. And then at some point I started doing vipassana practice, when I started doing vipassana, especially when I did it here in the United States, the teachers would teach loving kindness practice, metta. Excuse me. Being kind of from a Zen background, this loving kindness practice just seemed too sentimental, too artificial to me when I was a young student. And so I would simply tune out the teachers if they did a guided loving-kindness meditation. But in the course of sitting long retreats, especially the three-month retreat at the Insight Meditation Society, at some point something started sweetness and warmth, and again, maybe this tenderizing, something began to open in me that had a kind of joy to it and delight or happiness part of it. And then when the teacher started to talk about loving-kindness or the loving-kindness meditation, I said, that's it. I know what they're talking about now. And then this idea of loving-kindness, loving-kindness meditation had such a wonderful meaning for me and value to me, but it had a very different flavor than compassion. It still had to do with caring for people and caring for oneself, but it was more of a came with a sense of delight or happiness and wanting them to be happy. And it's a very different affect for me to have this more open, relaxed experience. And I wondered for a long time whether it was something about Zen versus something like Vipassana, one compassion, one loving kindness, or had to do with a particular phase of my life and what was useful and what this kind of tenderizing and opening of the heart came. Certainly the loving-kindness started to come when I didn't have so much suffering anymore. I'd become freer and freer of it and had real moments of it dropping away. And sitting there and practicing without the suffering as a reference point, maybe that's what made possible that the loving-kindness could be the expression of this, caring heart. And then as the decades went along, at some point I noticed that there was a shift in my experience of care, wanting to take care, respond to the world, or the certain kind of love or that I felt. And it started to become simpler and simpler. And it became simpler in a way that I didn't quite associate it with compassion, though I could call it compassion, but it just seemed so simple. And I didn't quite associate with loving kindness because that seemed a little bit more active to me, a little more energized and a little bit more kind of relational in some more, complicated way. But there was a simpler thing that I associated a lot with it, with a sense of freedom, a sense of ease, a sense of peace that had come with the practice. And this idea that there was this very simple caring responsivity, wanting to support and help and work for people, but it was clearly connected to a sense of peace, a sense of well-being, a sense of ease. And it just seemed to be almost part and parcel of that ease. And it just, as soon as I kind of would refer to it as loving-kindness or compassion, it seems like it got a little bit more activated, a little more conceptual, a little bit more involved. Nothing wrong with that at all, but I like the peacefulness. And there are times I struggled with especially if I struggle a little bit, conceptually, is it okay to stay that simple? Shouldn't I be more actively concerned or worried or be more actively compassionate or actively loving kindness? But it just felt so right this way. And then I started studying these suttas around this idea of compassion and how compassion is talked about in the suttas. And I started seeing there was a distinction in the suttas between compassion and anukampa. And the big difference is that the word anukampa is the primary word the Buddha uses for actively doing and caring and serving other people, teaching others, working with others, being supportive of others, being generous to others, that's in the suttas, that's over and over again described as being done out of anukampa. It's never described as coming out of karuna. Karuna has a very different meaning in the suttas. It's certainly different than what it's come to mean. But anukampa is the active verb and emotion for caring for others. And the primary kind of, it's not defined in the suttas, but over and over and over again, when someone has anukampa, they're concerned for the welfare of others. And this idea of welfare of others is broader in nature than compassion. It's broader in nature, because compassion is about, certainly about the welfare of others, but specific around not wanting to suffer, to alleviate suffering. And loving kindness is more about letting people be happy, and can be a lot of compassion there too, and concern for people suffering, but it's more, a little bit more specific. And what I came to understand is in the suttas, anukampa is the broad feeling that encompasses all the brahmaviharas, encompasses compassion, loving kindness, sympathetic joy, and equanimity. And so you know, that's, it's more like this is the broad term for being involved with the care of the world. And so this is not from the Buddha, but my own sense of it then is that anukampa is the foundation for the other forms of love. And that then I associated with this feeling of something very deep and peaceful from which my care came. I said, oh, that is probably anukampa. And having a word for it really made a difference for me. It kind of brought me delight, joy, kind of freed it up to be there as its own thing. And I've come to translate it now as care. So the fundamental capacity to care that can be very simple, uncomplicated, coming from a sense of ease and peace and freedom, that can be the foundation. And then as appropriate, that gets expressed in different ways. So that's what I want to talk about this week, is anukampa, and I hope that offering my own story of how I came to it sets a context for what we'll do for the next 4 mornings. So thank you for listening, and I look forward to tomorrow. Thank you.